superb. There are those who prefer the 76, but to my mind the 71 has never been surpassed. It has that extra touch of finesse. Now, let me see. Ah, yes. Oh, dear, oh, dear. I'm afraid that things have been allowed to go just a little far, have they not? They are an expensive addiction. Fascinating, of course, exciting, but... expensive. Payment in full 10 days from now, or the possibility of your continuing good health will attract only very short odds.
Silver Blaze by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools. With Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Jack May as Colonel Ross. Silver Blaze.
There you are, Edith.
Thank you, Jim.
Excuse me. Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Didn't mean to startle you.
Who are you, sir?
Fact is, I'm lost. Can you tell me where I am?
You're at King's Poyland Training Stables.
Am I, indeed? What a stroke of luck.
Excuse me, sir.
No, no, wait. I understand that a lad watches over the horses at night.
How did you know that?
Oh, is that his supper? Smells good. Let's stay where you are. Now, I'm sure you'd like to earn the price of a new dress, wouldn't you? See that the boy has this tonight, and you shall have the prettiest dress that money can buy.
What is it?
Just make sure that he has it.
Get out of my way!
Quiet, King. What's the matter with you? It's only easy with supper.
Ned! Open the window, quick!
What's the matter?
Oh, Ned!
What's wrong? Here, give me that.
There's a man! He's coming over here.
What? Did he touch you?
He kept on about you.
Me?
I want to talk to you about Silver Blaze. It will put some money in your pocket.
Edie, roam back to the house and get Mr. Straker. Quick.
Right.
You shouldn't have done that.
You damn tout. I'll show you how we treat your sort. What are you doing? Get away from that window. You get out now or I set a dog on you.
All right. I'm going. I'm going. No need for violence. You should have helped me, you know.
Easy, Blaze. That's the way. You did quite right to call me, Ned. Damn totes.
No, I didn't like the look of him, Governor. And he proper put the wind up, Edie.
Did he threaten you at all?
Well, not in so many words, but he should have seen his stick. Huh? I bet he could be handy with that if he wanted.
He'll likely not be back. But keep your eyes open,
Mr. Straker.
And make sure you lock this door after me.
What's that?
Go back to sleep, love.
Oh, John. What time is it?
Just after one. Go back to sleep.
Why are you dressed? What's the matter?
Nothing. Look, I can't settle. I'm going over to the stables.
Oh, John, he won't have come back.
I'm just going to check that everything's all right. Don't worry.
My husband.
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, leave that, Edith. Come with me.
Ned!
What's the matter with him? Ned! John! John!
Ned! Can you hear me?
Is he sick, Mum? Let me look at him. Edie, I think he's been drugged.
Drugged?
Run up to the loft and wake Jim and Freddie.
Yes, Mum.
Oh, my God. Edie!
What?
Silver Blaze! He's gone!
I told you I could see something. It's Master's coat. What the devil's it doing out here?
Fred, look. Down in the hollow.
Oh, God. Careful.
Oh, God almighty. Pull yourself together. Help me get him covered up before the missus sees him.
Ready? Jim! Are you down there?
Go back, Mum! Edie, don't let her see!
What do you mean? Move aside.
Oh.
Do as I say.
Yes, Mum.
Do you mind if I open the window?
No, no.
Sherlock Holmes had been up since long before breakfast, rambling about our room with his chin upon his chest and his brows knitted, charging and recharging his pipe with the strongest and most foul-smelling black tobacco, and absolutely deaf to any of my questions or remarks.
Mm.
I said, would you mind if I opened a window?
Now, why the devil did I put that telegram?
I knew perfectly well what it was that he was brooding over. There was only one problem before the public which could offer any challenge to his powers of analysis.
Oh, Watson, where is that damn thing?
Perhaps if the air were a little clearer, you'd be able to see where you put it.
Ah, yeah. Watson, I've made a blunder.
Oh, yes?
Yes, I'm afraid it's a more common occurrence than anyone would think who only knew me through your ridiculously romanticized writings.
Now, wait just one minute.
What? If we're going to have this argument yet again, I insist on... I've never known a man who so despised fresh air.
And before we start in on my shortcomings, may I say that nothing I've ever done could possibly irritate you half as much as that laugh irritates me.
Really?
Really.
Huh. That's fascinating. Why haven't you mentioned this before? Well, perhaps your forthcoming nuptials have given you a new spirit of frankness. Do you intend to be this direct with the excellent Miss Morstan?
Oh, we will not discuss Miss Morstan, if you don't mind.
It would make an absolutely splendid monograph. Yes, upon the classification of non-verbal utterances and their effects on various listeners.
Good God, and you have the infernal gall to criticise my writing.
Yes, well, perhaps you're right.
Oh, what's so amusing about fresh air, anyway?
No, it was just that your mentioning it was so beautifully apposite. I have to go down to Devon.
Ah, to the King's Pyland Racing Stables on Dartmoor.
Bravo, Watson.
Yeah, I've been expecting it. I'm only surprised that you weren't sent for 2 days ago.
I was.
Ah.
As I said, a blunder. There, we're going well. Our rate at present is 53.5 miles per hour.
53.5 miles per hour. Ah, I haven't observed the quarter-mile posts.
Nor have I.
Oh.
Yeah, but the telegraph poles on this line are 60 yards apart, and the calculation is a simple one.
So... what was this blunder?
Well, the fact is, I didn't believe that the most famous and distinctive racehorse in England could remain concealed for very long, especially in so sparse a place as the north of Dartmoor. Now, I thought the case would be over and done with days ago.
According to this, it is. What about the man they've arrested for the murder?
Fitzroy Simpson.
The paper speaks well of this Inspector Gregory. He seems to have an excellent case.
No, he has nothing.
Come on.
Simpson was hanging round the stables trying to bribe the maid, threatening the lad.
He hasn't found the horse. The horse is the key.
Simpson was making off with the horse when Straker caught up with him, and he killed the trainer in order to get away. So, if Gregory can get Simpson to confess to the murder, then the whole story of what he's done with the horse will come out. Isn't that the obvious approach?
Exactly, the obvious approach. Gregory may be making a name for himself, but he lacks the most essential quality for a detective.
And that is?
Mr. Holmes. Dr. Watson. An honor.
Inspector?
May I present Colonel Ross, the employer of the murdered man, and the owner of Silver Blaze.
Good afternoon, Colonel.
Mr. Holmes, Gregory here speaks very highly of you. Oh. I trust you'll live up to his recommendations.
Let us hope that your trust is justified.
You may rest assured, Colonel, that if anyone can bring this murderer to book, Holmes can.
Well, of course, I'm anxious the poor Straker should be avenged. But make no mistake, Mr. Holmes, I'm engaging you to recover my horse.
Colonel, you have made your position perfectly clear.
Good.
I'm quite convinced that Simpson is our man. Of course, he's still denying all knowledge of the business.
Tell me, Colonel, how long has Straker been in your employ?
12 years.
A good man?
The best trainer I've ever had. There was no aspect of the business he couldn't handle. From the smallest local merchant to the grandest London breeder.
Did he often deal with such people on your behalf?
One does not keep a dog and bark oneself.
No, I suppose not. Tell me about the horse.
Silver Blaze. He's named for the pure white streak on his forehead. Apart from that, and a mottled off hind leg, he's as black as jet. He's certainly the most valuable horse in the country.
And he's the prime favourite for the Wessex Plate next Tuesday.
Well, he was, until this catastrophe. 3-1 on. And even at short odds, enormous sums have been laid on him.
Where one man gains, another loses. So, there are those with the strongest interest in preventing him being there next week.
Well, I should have thought that was obvious.
That's King's Pile, gentlemen. Off to the west.
Very isolated establishment.
I saw another group of buildings some way back.
Capleton Stables. Lord Backwater's establishment. He owns Desborough.
That's the second favourite for the plate.
Ah. I suppose the damned animal will walk away with it now. Scandalous.
Who runs Capleton?
A man called Silas Brown. Unlikable sort of fella.
He and Straker couldn't stand the sight of each other.
And the two establishments, 2 miles apart?
Something like that. Too damn close, if you ask me.
You value isolation, Colonel.
Of course. Secrecy is essential. Fortunes can be made and lost on inside information. The business is full of rogues, touts, spies, what have you.
Simpson is one such. I discovered he's got bets placed against Silver Blaze.
What amount?
£5,000.
Good God.
But if this Simpson abducted my horse, what did he do with it? Where is it now?
I presume you've searched Capleton.
Of course we have.
I saw to it personally.
And?
No, good Lord, ma'am, what do you think? Not a damn trace.
Horse's stable there, tack room there, trainer's house, yard paved, it's noisy. Direct access out into the moor, lanterns hung there, there and there. Yeah, very good.
The Colonel has abandoned us, has he?
Yes, he's gone to tell Mrs. Straker we're here. He did say.
No doubt.
Do you want to speak to the stable lad?
Not yet. Where is Straker's body?
Good God.
Quite, Doctor.
Repeated blows to the side of the head. Almost the entire left side of the skull is shattered. A weighted club is a coward's weapon.
Simpson had in his possession a stick with a hollowed-out end filled with lead.
If owning a Penang lawyer makes a man a murderer, you should be out arresting a sizable portion of the population.
I do have other evidence against the man, Mr. Holmes.
Did you examine Simpson's stick?
Minutely.
And?
No traces. But he'd had ample time to clean it up.
Of course, yes. Are there any other wounds?
On the left thigh.
The thigh. Fascinating, Doctor.
It's a perfectly clean cut.
And not particularly deep.
That's hardly consistent with the savagery to the head.
Not in the least. Did Simpson have a knife on him when you arrested him?
No, but Straker was grasping a knife when he was found.
Indeed, in which hand?
The right. It was clotted with blood. My first thought was that he defended himself vigorously.
Does Simpson bear any injuries?
No. So I'm forced to assume that Straker injured himself in his fall.
Inspector, altering your theory to fit in with a preconceived conclusion?
Actually, it is quite possible. After a massive injury to the brain, there's often convulsive struggling, thrashing about. I think he may well have inflicted that cut on himself.
Thank you, Doctor. Sorry, Mr. Holmes.
No, don't be. I have no preconceived theory to upset. Yes, the fingers of the left hand have been straightened after death. What was he holding in that hand?
A silk muffler, striped in red and black. Both the maidservant and the stable lad are ready to swear that Simpson was wearing it that night.
Quiet, King! Down, boy!
Sorry about that, gentlemen.
It's of no matter. This is the table where you ate your supper?
Yes, sir.
And it was through this window that the maidservant handed you the tray.
Edith, yes, sir.
Edith, yes. Let me see. That's too small for an entrance.
How are you feeling now, Ned?
Well, bright as ninepence, thank you, sir. Though they had the devil's own judge wake me up Tuesday morning, I'm told.
Have you identified the drug that was used?
Powdered opium.
Powdered opium. Did all the household eat the same dish? Excellent, Watson.
They did, Doctor. No ill effects.
And the dish what?
Curried mutton, sir.
The maid Edith will testify that Simpson was carrying a folded packet made of white paper. He said to her, make sure the lad has this tonight.
How did Simpson explain that?
He says it was a £10 note.
And presumably he claims it was to bribe young Ned here into giving him inside information.
He did say, sir, as he could put some money into my pocket.
Thank you, Ned.
Nonetheless, a paper packet is exactly the sort of container powdered opium would be in. Shall I bring in the maid now?
No, no. I'd like to see what Straker had in his pocket.
Here you are, gentlemen.
Let me see. A box of Vestas. Pipe. Sealskin pouch with half an ounce of long-cut Cavendish. Silver stopwatch, some papers, and... Well. I presume, from bloodstains, that this is the knife you mentioned.
Yes, sir.
Yes, not exactly what I was expecting. It's something in your line, surely, Doctor. Here.
Yes, indeed. This is what we call a cataract knife. You see how small and fine the blade is? It's only used for the most delicate work.
A curious choice for a weapon.
There are all sorts of knives to be found in stables like this. Straker just grabbed the nearest one to hand when he set off after Simpson.
Yes, very possibly. Now, these papers. Account from a hay merchant. Instructions from Colonel Ross. Now, what's this? Madame Lazurier of Bond Street, London. Also your department, Watson?
Thank you very much. Well, it's a dressmaker's account for £37.15. It's actually made out to a William Derbyshire.
So Mrs. Derbyshire has expensive tastes. May I keep this for a short while, Inspector?
You think it important?
Considerably. Colonel Ross.
Holmes.
And you must be Mrs. Straker.
Yes, sir.
Please accept our sincere condolences. Allow me.
Thank you.
I have explained to Mrs. Straker why you're here, gentlemen.
Forgive me, madam, but certain questions must be asked.
Of course. I'll help you all I can.
Thank you. On which side of this house is your bedroom?
Mr. Holmes, that cannot be relevant.
Colonel, please. Mrs. Straker.
At the front of the house.
So, your bedroom window looks across the yard at the stables?
Yes.
Yes. On the night of the tragedy, you heard nothing untoward?
Nothing, sir. Nothing at all.
No one heard the least disturbance, Mr. Holmes.
That's enough now, Holmes.
One last point.
Yes.
Who is Mr. William Derbyshire? Madam?
He's a friend of my husband's. A close friend. John spoke of him from time to time.
And you have met him?
No. He lives in London.
Ah.
According to the maidservant, Derbyshire's letters are occasionally addressed here.
Well, that explains everything. I thank you for your patience, Mrs. Straker.
Sir.
Oh, one final thing. Surely I met you in Plymouth some little time ago.
Mr. Holmes?
At a garden party.
A garden party? No, sir,
I could have sworn it. You wore a costume of dove-coloured silk with ostrich feather trimming.
Oh, I never had such a dress, sir.
Oh, well, that quite settles it. My apologies.
Holmes, that was an outrageous display of insensitivity.
But quite illuminating and therefore necessary.
You may think so.
Inspector, shall we go to the murder site while the light still lasts?
By all means.
I shall endeavour to calm Mrs. Straker.
I was about to suggest exactly that.
This is the spot, gentlemen.
Straker's coat was on the tree up there. The lads who found it thought it might have blown there, but in fact, it had been quite deliberately hung on a low branch.
A point of some importance, I fancy. Watson, note this location. Significant, is it not?
Well, it's only a short walk away from the stables.
Yes, it is. But can you see the stable buildings from here?
Well, no, we're in a hollow.
Well, exactly. And we're standing precisely where the body was found, Inspector.
Yes, sir. I had that matting placed there to preserve any markings.
Ah, excellent.
I brought along one of the boots which Straker wore, one of Fitzroy Simpson's shoes, and a cast horseshoe of Silver Blaze.
My dear Inspector, you surpass yourself.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Holmes.
Pray, let me see. Yes, it's good. Good. Now, stand back, if you please. Excuse me, gentlemen.
Look at that. It's as if nothing in the world exists for him but that one patch of ground. I believe I could let off a pistol and he wouldn't notice it.
He's transformed when he's in a situation like this. Look at his eyes.
I tell you, Doctor, I've been an admirer of his methods for some time, but actually to see him at work, it's an education.
Your own approach to the job strikes me as admirably clear and logical, Inspector.
Well, thank you, Doctor. That's very gratifying. And I have to say, I can't help thinking that the facts in this case seem to speak for themselves.
Your net certainly seems to be tightly drawn around Fitzroy Simpson.
What have you got, Mr. Holmes?
Look.
A candle stub.
I say we have more time. We can also find a vesta used to light it.
I've been all over this site. I can't think how I managed to overlook anything.
Yeah, it was invisible, buried in the mud. I only found it because I was looking for it.
You expected to find it?
Yes, I thought it not unlikely.
Mr. Holmes, is something wrong?
Forgive me, Inspector. No, nothing at all. It's true that despite your precautions, there's little to read here.
Well, I was afraid of that.
It's not important. There may be tracks elsewhere.
Well, the higher ground's too hard and dry. I'll examine very carefully for 100 yards in each direction.
Well, then I wouldn't have the impertinence to do it again.
Yes,
I would like to take a little walk over the moors before it grows dark.
A walk?
Yes, I think so. What do you say, Watson?
Yes, certainly.
Yes, splendid. Well, then we'll see you back at the stables, Inspector. Oh, and if you don't mind, I'll take the horseshoe with me. For luck.
Your leg holding up, Watson?
Yes, never a twinge.
Thank you.
What a magnificent view.
Let's stop here for a moment.
Yes, certainly. Look at the way that plain is tinged with gold. And the ruddy brown where the fern and the brambles catch the last rays of the sun. And I don't want to hear a word from you about romantic rubbish. It is beautiful.
Oh, I wish I could paint. I do hope your present rose-coloured optimism isn't going to be too rudely shattered by the realities of married life.
Are you still on about that? I know it amuses you to see me as a sort of overgrown lovesick schoolboy, but don't you have more important matters to think about just at the moment?
You believe that Gregory's solution is correct?
Yes, I do. His case is very well argued. Simpson has a considerable financial interest in the disappearance of the favourite. He had clear access to the stable lad's meal through that window. He was armed with a heavy stick and his muffler was found in the dead man's hand. That business with the paper packet...
Yeah, a clever counsel would tear it all to rags. The muffler was lost on the moor. The stick is a perfectly common item. He leaned in the window to look at the animal no more, and the packet was exactly what he claimed it to be, a £10 note.
Well, then, what's your case?
I have none.
Then aren't you being a trifle hasty in dismissing Gregory?
Oh, I have the solution.
You know who the murderer is?
Yes, yes, but I have no case because I have no proof. I have a number of loose threads, but nothing to bind them together. Yes, I've overlooked something. Something that's been staring me in the face.
Something you've seen?
Heard. Something of vital significance. Something spoken. Who have I talked to since we arrived?
Let me have a look. In order, it would have been Colonel Ross. No, Inspector Gregory first, then Ross, then the stable lad Ned, then Mrs. Straker. That's it. Do you want me to go over the main points of the conversation?
Gregory, Ross.
Fool!
I beg your pardon?
Fool, fool, fool!
Holmes!
Me, my dear fellow, me, not you. Oh. How could I possibly have overlooked so obvious a clue? You see what your precious fresh air does to my brain.
What clue, for goodness sake?
The immense significance of the curried mutton.
What?
It's one pull on that final thread and all the other strands are drawn into a knot. I have the facts and I have the proof. Only one question still remains to be answered.
And that is?
The location of the horse.
You don't know where the horse is? When you said you'd solved it, I thought you meant everything.
They were together in that hollow, in the dark. The murder was committed and Silver Blaze broke away.
Broke away? Why didn't the murderer stop him?
Yes, excellent question. Once you realise the motive behind the murder, the answer will present itself.
The motive is obvious.
Is it? Yes. What sort of creature is a horse? Huh? Up out of the hollow, scenting the air. Yes, yes. Most of the ground around here is hard and would have held no impressions, even in Monday's rain. But if I'm correct...
Next hollow.
What about it?
I'll show you. Come on.
On the night of the murder, this hollow must have been as soft and muddy as the one where the murder was committed.
So must every other hollow on Dartmoor. What's so significant about this one?
Look.
By God.
Horseshoe fits exactly.
For luck. How in the world did you know?
Well, you see the value of imagination. That is the one quality which Gregory lacks. I imagined what might have happened, acted on the supposition, and found myself justified. There. Huh? And there. Well, well.
You see these broken bushes? It looks as though he climbed out of the hollow up to that plain.
Back towards King's Pylon, stopped and turned. Yes, my dear fellow, exactly as I expected.
How can we follow the tracks once the horse reaches the hard ground?
We can't, but it's not important.
Not important? But he could have wandered off anywhere.
No, I think not.
So where did he go? You're not going to tell me, are you?
How's the light? Just time, I think.
For what, pray?
For obtaining some expert advice.
What the devil do you want here?
There's nothing that justifies such an ill-mannered reception. Are you Silas Brown, trainer to Lord of Backwater?
What if I am? Be off with you, you pair of touts.
Now, just a moment.
All right, Watson.
What I want is 10 minutes talk with you, my good sir.
I've no time to talk to every gadabout. Be off.
About last Monday night or early Tuesday morning, if you prefer.
You watch what you're saying. I'm no killer.
I don't believe I mentioned the murder.
I won't ask you again. What do you want?
Your help.
My help? Why should I help you?
Because if you do, I may well feel inclined to return the favour. And if you don't...
There's too many prying ears out here. This way.
Watson, wait here. Don't let anyone disturb us.
Are you coming or not? I'm a busy man.
I shan't need more than a few minutes.
You are doing what?
We are returning to London by the Midnight Express. We've got a charming little breath of your beautiful Dartmoor air, but now we must depart.
Mr. Holmes! Doctor!
Sorry, Inspector. You know as much as I do.
So, you are giving up. You despair of arresting the murderer of poor Straker.
There are certainly grave difficulties in the way.
And the horse? What about the race? Since you can offer me no hope... I urge the public to withdraw Silver Blaze's name from the entries.
Absolutely not. He must let the name stand.
Yes, well, I'm very glad to have your opinion, sir.
I have every hope that your horse will be there at the fall of the flag next Tuesday.
Have you indeed?
And I plan to be there to see him run. I suggest that you have your jockey in readiness. Inspector, a word with you outside.
Straight away, Mr. Holmes.
Oh, Colonel, I trust you've no objection to giving us a ride back into Tavistock. Thank you so much.
Well, Doctor, I must say I'm disappointed in our London consultant. I don't see that we're any further advanced than when he came.
At least you have his assurance that your horse will run.
Yes, I have his assurance. I should prefer to have the horse.
Easy, girl. Easy. There you go.
Do you have a photograph of Straker?
Yes, I do.
Here. My dear Gregory, you anticipate all my wants. Good evening, Ned.
Sir? Inspector? Mr. Holmes?
Yes, Ned.
Look, sir, I know it's not my place, and if the Colonel catches me talking to
I'm sure we can rely on the inspector here to keep a lookout.
Certainly, Mr. Holmes.
Well, thank you, sir. Well, it's Silver Blaze. The other lads are saying... Well, has that villain Simpson really done away with him? Because if he hasn't...
Ned, Ned, you need have no fears. Please believe me. Colonel Watson. Climb aboard.
You're admirably free and easy with my carriage, Holmes.
After you, Inspector.
Thank you, Doctor.
Well, for heaven's sake, Holmes, are you coming or not?
One moment, Colonel. Ned.
Sir?
Those few sheep in the paddock. Who looks after them?
I do, sir.
Have you noticed anything amiss with them of late?
Well, sir, it's not of much account.
Now, go on.
But three of them has gone lame, sir.
A long shot, Watson, a very long shot. Thank you, Ned.
Sir.
Have you finished? May we depart?
Gregory, let me recommend to your attention this singular epidemic among the sheep.
You really consider that to be important?
Exceedingly so.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. Is there any other point you wish to draw to my attention?
A curious incident of the dog in the night time.
But the dog did nothing in the night time.
That was the curious incident. Drive on. Holmes, this is ridiculous.
Sure enough.
You've told me all the rest. Why not the final detail?
My dear chap, I thought you'd enjoy the chance to work it out for yourself.
Come with me, and all shall be made clear.
Out you come, boy. Easy, boy. Easy.
Good day to you.
Mr. Holmes.
You remember my associate, Dr. Watson?
Mr. Brown.
Any problems?
None, sir. Everything's to hand, just as you ordered.
Pleased to hear it. This seems to be a splendid beast. Your expert opinion, Watson.
I take it this is Desborough. Magnificent.
You wouldn't say that he's been ill-treated or deprived in any way?
Ill-treated? I've rarely seen a finer-looking animal. But why should you think he...
Brown, Colonel Ross will be joining us here shortly.
You haven't told him.
He knows nothing.
I swear to you, my first thought was to do what was right. God's truth.
So I saw. But then the devil came into you when you thought of how much money could be made. Watson, Brown claims to be a reformed man. Mm. Your testimony would appear to support him.
I'm not sure that I'd be willing to pledge his good behavior in the future.
Well, we shall just have to see. Silas Brown, you've kept your end of the bargain, so I shall keep mine. Be off with you. And be sure that our paths never cross again.
God save you, sir. You too, Doctor. You can rely on me.
I doubt it. There they are. Prepare yourself for the final act, Doctor.
I don't think Colonel Ross will share your amusement.
Perhaps not. Good day to you, Colonel. Inspector Gregory.
Mr. Holmes. Doctor.
Mr. Holmes, I have seen nothing of my horse. At your insistence...
That's my suggestion.
I have allowed Silver Blaze's name to stand and my jockey to be weighed. Do you realize what penalties I shall face when the horse doesn't appear? By God, I'll sue you for every penny you possess.
Tell me, Colonel, what do you know Silver Blaze when you saw him?
I, sir, have been on the turf for 20 years, and never have I been asked such a damn fool question. Know my own horse, indeed. Sir, your services are dispensed with. This nonsense has gone on quite long enough.
I agree. Let us have no more nonsense. You've engaged me to find Silver Blaze. I have done so.
What? Then where the devil is he?
Before you.
Good God, man, that's not my horse. That beast hasn't a white hair on his body.
Watson, be so good as to pass me that bucket.
Yes, certainly.
Mr. Holmes, What's the meaning of this?
Oh, bear with him. Inspector, I think I can see where this is all leading.
Well done, Watson.
Well, I'm damned if I can.
Observe closely, gentlemen. This bucket contains spirits of wine. An excellent and versatile liquid. Easy boy, easy boy. Ideally suited for the removal of nearly all types of... Hold his head steady, Watson. Nearly all types of... Ha! Paint and dye!
Well, I'm damned.
Bravo, Holmes.
Wonderful.
Mr. Holmes.
Colonel.
You take my breath away.
Silver Blaze! Come on, Silver Blaze!
Come on, Silver Blaze!
On the paper!
And away, go!
Well, did you enjoy a bit of fun at the Colonel's expense?
Yes, I did. And don't try to tell me he didn't deserve it.
Did I say anything of the sort?
Hmm. I still think you might have told me, though.
How did you know?
Oh, you remember that muddy hollow near to Capleton?
Mm-hmm.
While you were off examining your broken bushes, I found clear traces of a man's footsteps. Hmm? He saw the horse wandering loose, ran up to it and led it away. It had to be Brown, and one look at his boots confirmed it. I've more or less decided that he had it anyway. The horse is a gregarious creature. Its instinct is always to seek out its own kind.
Really?
Watson, before the others join us, a favour.
Yeah, of course.
When you write this one up, be sure to do full justice to that scene.
Hmm? Mr. Holmes, you take my breath away.
So my writing does have some value, then.
Have I ever doubted it?
Ah, Colonel. Congratulations.
Mr. Holmes, I owe you 1,000 apologies for having doubted your ability.
Colonel, I accept your apologies. Did you enjoy the race, Inspector?
I did, sir. Very rewarding.
How about you, Ned?
Wonderful, Doctor. It's great to see him again. Thank you, Mr. Holmes.
My pleasure.
Now then, lad, get a blanket on that horse, and then you can cut along and enjoy yourself.
Well, thank you, sir. Come on, Blaze.
Good lad, that. Potential. Back here by 5, mind.
Sir?
Mr. Holmes, you've done me a great service by recovering my horse. You would do me a greater still if you could lay your hands on the murderer of John Straker.
I have done so.
You've got him.
Who is he? Where is he?
You had all the threads in your hand, Inspector. You failed only to tie them together. And this was a case where the art of the reasoner lay in sifting the fine details rather than uncovering new evidence. Details such as the drug used on the stable lad.
Powdered opium? But why was that significant?
Because it's by no means tasteless. In most dishes, it would be immediately detectable.
But the supper that night was curried mutton, as the poisoner must have known it was going to be. That one point alone totally eliminated Fitzroy Simpson. Then there was the question of the dog. I pointed that out to you.
I thought you were talking nonsense. The dog that did nothing.
The dog that did not bark. No one reported hearing any disturbance that night. The dog didn't bark, so...
So whoever took the horse was someone the dog knew well.
Exactly.
Mr. Holmes, I do not like where this is leading.
Nonetheless, Colonel, it is the truth. John Straker himself was at the center of the crime. He was a man wholly unworthy of your trust. On the night of the murder, Straker waited until he knew that Ned would be unconscious. Then he unlocked the stables with his own key and led Silver Blaze out into the moor. On the way, he found Simpson's muffler, lost in its owner's earlier flight, and picked it up, probably thinking he could use it to secure the horse. He hung his coat on a tree to give himself more freedom of movement, led the horse into a hollow, out of sight and earshot of the buildings, and lit the stub of a candle so he could see to carry out his plan.
But what plan? What was all this for?
Remember the knife found in the dead man's hand? A surgical instrument. Very fine and delicate.
It was to be used for a most delicate operation that night. Such a knife could be inserted subcutaneously, leaving absolutely no trace, and used to make the merest nick on the tendons of the horse's leg.
The villain, the damned scoundrel. The poor horse would be no more than slightly lamed. His losing today will be put down to a muscle strain or something equally
minor. But never to foul play. Something else I pointed out. Straker knew he would only have one chance. He couldn't risk this tendon-nicking going wrong. You recall my long shot.
Oh, the sheep!
The lame sheep. By God, he'd been practicing.
Exactly. Well done, Inspector.
But why? Why did he want to ruin me?
He didn't, Colonel. Not directly.
This is the final loose thread. A 37-pound walking outfit from Madame Lazurier of Bond Street. Mrs. Straker's explanation of Mr. William Derbyshire did not convince me. Men do not carry other people's bills about in their pockets, and you observed her manner when I mentioned the name.
Well, I put it down to her grief.
No, it is more than that. I believe that she had already divined the truth about her husband and Mr. Derbyshire, possibly some time ago. Women can be surprisingly resilient creatures.
What are you saying?
Straker and Derbyshire were one and the same. He was leading a double life.
One involving another woman.
As you told us yourself, Colonel, of his frequent trips to London.
Oh, God.
Madame Lisurier recognized Mr. Derbyshire at once from our photograph of Straker. An excellent customer whose dashing wife has a strong partiality for extremely expensive dresses.
I've no doubt that this woman led Straker head over heels into debt and straight into the welcoming arms of the moneylender.
I take it we must assume we had bets laid against Silver Blaze.
Bets that must certainly have been placed with even more borrowed cash. It was a desperate scheme.
The fool. Why couldn't he have come to me? I've lost the best trainer I ever had.
But the murderer, Mr. Holmes... Who is the murderer? Straker may have been a villain, but murder cannot go unpunished.
You ask me, the fellow did me a favor. Getting to Straker before he had a chance to injure my horse. I'll give him a medal.
Colonel Ross, we're talking about a crime of the utmost seriousness. Now, Mr. Holmes, it can only have been another member of the Colonel's staff. But who? One of the lads? Surely not the maid.
No, not the maid. The murderer of John Straker is here now.
Here? Where?
In my company at the present moment.
Mr. Holmes, that is either a very bad joke or an insult.
Not you, Colonel. The murderer is standing just over there.
Good God. The horse.
The horse. They were there together in the darkness, and he undoubtedly sensed Draker's own tension and fear. Perhaps it was the sudden glare of the match, or that strange instinct that animals have when danger is near, whatever the cause. As Straker bent to his miserable task, Silver Blaze lashed out and killed him with a single blow.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You might have been there.
It was a privilege to listen to that, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you.
Wait. You've explained all but one thing.
What's that, Colonel?
Where exactly was the horse?
Ah, it bolted and was found wandering on the moor and cared for by one of your neighbours. We must have an amnesty in that direction, I think.
Very well. What matters is that Silver Blaze is home once more.
And as for delivering the murderer to justice... Well... No court in the land would declare him guilty. The verdict must clearly be... self-defense.
In Silver Blaze, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Merrison and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with Jack May as Colonel Ross. Inspector Gregory was played by Terence Edmund, John Straker by Fraser Carr, Mrs. Straker by Susan Sheridan, Silas Brown by Brett Usher, Fitzroy Simpson by Nigel Carrington, Ned by Mark Straker, and Edith by Petra Markham. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. Silver Blaze was dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Patrick Rayner.